Tonight, Lord, you are a great and wonderful God. God, you are a God that believes in your people. God, we come to you tonight, Lord, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. Lord, to be challenged. Lord, that we might go forth into the battle equipped to fight our enemy. Lord, I just want to, right now, just submit my heart to you completely. God, that you would just take a hold of my lips, my words, that they would be your words, Lord. God, that our hearts here tonight would be knitted together to hear what your Spirit desires to speak unto us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks, I have been really looking at the whole thing here of Satan's activity. I believe that so often we underestimate the power of our enemy. And so often we as Christians continue in our lives to a degree that we almost ignore that the enemy is there. And we don't pay attention to him as we ought to. Now, I'm not advocating that we focus on the devil, because I don't believe that that's what we need to do. But I believe that we need to realize that we have an enemy out there that unless we focus our attention on God and continually draw strength from God and come into his presence and enter into that place that he has for us, we are going to be subjected to the harassment and the wiles and the trickery and the cunningness of our enemy. I mean, he's going to do all that anyway. Setting snares, traps, whatever it may be, he is out there to harass. And I believe it's important for us to know, and I've actually ministered on this before, and the Lord brought it back to me tonight, and he says, you need to really hit that one again. And that is, you know, that the enemy is determined to get you. See? He is determined to get you, to get the church. He hates the church. The church is a living threat to him. And he knows that his time is short and he doesn't want to go. He wants to prolong his tenure here on earth before he is eternally damned to the pit of hell. And he will do what he has to do to harass and to keep us away from centering on the purpose of God and the direction that God has for us as individuals and also for the church. And this week, I always get a letter once a month from Pastors Fellowship reminding us of the meetings that are coming up. And this is the way that the letter opened up this month. This pastor, I'm not going to say who it was, but he says, the last few weeks have been some of the toughest that I have ever experienced. The enemy is on the rampage and doing everything he can to destroy people's lives and to try to undermine God's church. See? The enemy's on the rampage. He's doing everything in his power to undermine the church and to destroy the lives of God's people. And he says, many of you are feeling the direct assault of Satan's blows. And so, there is a spirit out there in the world, the enemy, Satan, I believe, has loosed his demons in a broader perspective and is saying, you know, we've got to assault. We've got to assault, and we've got to assault, and we've got to assault. He's determined to destroy. And I believe if we are going to beat the enemy, if we are going to win the war, we have to be more determined in our warfare than he is in his warfare. Now, he has everything that he is losing, so he is determined. Now, we have everything to win. We have everything to gain. We should be much more determined not to let him have the possession, the inheritance that God has given to us. We have to be determined to stand our ground. We have to be determined to knit our lives together in the bond of love. We have to be determined to assault and assault and assault the enemy. We have to be determined to go to God daily, to dwell in the place of the Most Holy, where we draw strength from God so that God can truly be the one who wages the warfare. It is God who leads us in battle. It is God who goes before us and slays the enemy. But we have to come into that place where we allow God to go before us. Because God will not impose himself upon us. And so tonight I want to talk about the importance of making a determined effort in everything that we are involved in, both spiritual and natural. That we must make a determined effort. Because determination is a necessity in our walk with the Lord. You will not endure to the end without determination. See, and this is the thing that is beginning to bear down on my spirit and my soul and is beginning to really make its imprint there, is that the battle has really just begun. Before it's all over, before Jesus returns, there's going to be a lot of warfare. There's going to be a lot of flesh dying. It's a serious warfare, see. And we need to realize that the enemy does not let up. We think, oh, I'm not feeling good today. Have a break. I mean, you know, give me a break. Devil. The devil doesn't give you breaks. He waits for those opportune times. He waits for those times when he can get in there and zap us. That's the way he works. And so you can have vision, you can have insight, you can have purpose, but without determination, you will not get the job done. See, it takes more than vision. Because sometimes your vision fails. There are times where you cannot see where you're going in God. Because of the circumstances, because of emotional distress or whatever it may be that he is throwing at you, sometimes you just can't see where you're going. And sometimes you just don't even feel like serving God. And so that's when your determination has to kick in and take over for you. It's in the midst of doubt, in the midst of uncertainty, that determination has to kick in. See, the one thing that helped Job, how many know that Job was a determined man? He was a determined man. And I believe it's in Job chapter 23 when he says, you know, I look forward, I look sideways, I look all around me. But God is nowhere to be seen. He says, I can't sense God. He says, my spiritual vision is impaired. I can't see. And this is what he said. This is the thing that I know, that he knows where I am. He knows where I'm walking. He's there beside me. I know that he's there beside me, even though I can't see him. And he also said that I esteem his word more than my necessary food. He continued in that. that determination, knowing even though he was going through a time of doubt and uncertainty, he had nothing left to do but just to be determined to believe, because he had nothing else to fall back on. Just like the disciples. When Jesus says, well, are you going to go too? He says, well, where are we going? You have the words of eternal life. And so, Proverbs 4, let's turn there and read that. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. See? Keep looking forward, and your eyelids right before you. It says, ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established. See? Ponder the path of your feet. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. In other words, you've got to be determined. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. You don't turn to the left. You don't turn to the right. You ponder the path of your feet, and you will be established. What is determination? Determination is the inner fortitude and the strength of character. It's the inner fortitude and the strength of character. Being disciplined to remain consistent, strong, and diligent regardless of the odds or the demands. That's what determination is. See, that's what defeats the devil. That's what defeats the devil, is when we are being disciplined to remain consistent, strong, and diligent regardless of the odds or the demands. It seems like all the odds are against us. So what? We have God on our side. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, these are the words, this is God's Word that must be sowed into our heart. This is God's Word that causes us to be determined in the end. Determined. And not to give up when the going gets rough. Not to give up when everything around us seems to be falling apart and caving in upon us. It also says it's the act of deciding. I like this. It's the act of deciding definitely and firmly, or coming to a resolve. See, it's coming to that resolve in your heart that says, see, it's a decision that I make that I am going to serve God. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to let this thing get me down. I'm not going to let that thing get me down. I don't care if the enemy comes this way. I'm going to continue to move forward. See, unless I have come to that place where I have determined to do that, see, unless I have a resolve in my heart that says I'm going to go forward no matter what the cost, see, the circumstances of life will cause me to become lukewarm. The circumstances of life will cause me to give up. Because sometimes the going seems too hard. And Jesus didn't come to say it would be easy, did he? He says it will be hard sometimes. But we have to come to that place. And see, Satan understands that. He understands that the hardness of the way. And when we're encountering the hardness of the way, if we are not careful, he will make it harder. And so we have to come to that place where we put our resolve in God. We put our resolve in moving forward. We put our resolve in just saying, okay, God, I'm yours no matter what. I'm moving forward no matter what. You see, I believe when we come to that place that God's Spirit touches us supernaturally. He touches us and he calms the storm. He causes our soul to even be comforted in the midst of difficulty. But I tell you what, when you can come to that place, you know that you are building some good character in your walk with God. And so he says the act, or I guess I got this from the dictionary, the act of deciding definitely and firmly or coming to a resolve. It's the act, determination is acting in faith when we temporarily lose sight of where we're going. See? We temporarily lose sight of where we're going, so we act in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because without determination, we find ourselves being tossed to and fro. The wind, the enemy comes and he beats us like a, you know, he just beats us into the ground. And, you know, he hits us here and we're boom, you know, and we're, before we know it, we're, you know, we're just laid flat. We have a hard time getting back up. When the pressure's on, we find ourselves reacting in a way that is contradictory to what we actually believe. How many have ever experienced that? I've experienced that. When the pressure's on, I'll find myself acting in a way that's contradictory to what I actually believe. But see, if I have determination in that, if I have a resolve in the midst of that, I'm not going to compromise my beliefs, am I? I'm going to continue to confess and move forward. I'm going to confess what I believe, and I'm going to respond in faith. And so, we must have the inner fortitude and the strength of character to remain consistent, strong, and diligent regardless of the odds or the demands. Determination is an important part of our spiritual warfare. Just a couple scriptures here on that. I'll just read them. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch, stand fast in faith. See? Standing fast in faith, being brave, being strong, that's determination, see? Where we just stand fast in faith. How many know sometimes that all you can do is just stand fast and hold your shield up there? You don't have much strength to do anything else but just sit there, stand fast with determination, and hold that shield up there to protect you from all the darts that the enemy is throwing at you. And when you stand fast, like that, God comes and He ministers and He strengthens and He establishes and He rekindles your vision. Ephesians 6 and verse 13, where it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. See? You do everything you can do, and then you just stand there in all the determination that you can muster up. Now, I want to give you the example of Manasseh here and the Canaanites. God had given all the tribes of Israel the command to go forth into the promised land. He says, I want you to go in there, and I want you to drive the inhabitants out of the land. He says, you are to go in. I give you the promise that every place the sole of your foot treads, that land belongs to you. I'm giving you the authority to go in and drive the inhabitants of the land out. And then you are to take possession of that land. That's the word that God had given to them. He says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, that promise is for you. That promise is for me. That, see, I have to keep this in my mind. I have to keep it in my heart. I have to keep it in my spirit. That wherever I go, God is with me. Wherever I go, God is going with me. And because of that promise, I can be strong. Because of that promise, I can take courage. Because of that promise, I can have hope in Jesus. And even though the circumstances around me may seem a little bit bleak, I still have the hope and I have the confidence that God is on my side. And that if God be for me, who can be against me? You see, we have got to get that into our spirits here tonight. This church has to get that into the spirit of this church. That if God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. You know, sometimes people get the notion that maybe God has left the church. That is such an absurd thought. How can God leave the church when God's inside of me? Amen? Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's right there in the midst. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. And that applies to the church of Jesus Christ as well. He is with us. He is for us. He is on our side. And we need to recognize that we have an enemy out there that is determined to kill. He's determined to destroy. He's determined to steal the inheritance. And so, with this promise, the children of Israel went forth and they conquered. I mean, they went through the land. They were terrors as they went through the land. They went through the land and they began to just chase the inhabitants out of the land. But it didn't happen in every single case. It didn't happen completely as God told them it would happen. And the reason was, is because their enemies were determined to stay in the land. You see, their enemies, their natural enemies, were determined to stay in the land. You see, we have an enemy that doesn't want to give up his inheritance. He doesn't want to give up the places where he has taken. And he's determined to stay there. You have areas in your life that the enemy still has control over because he's determined to maintain that control. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it's going to take a determination that's stronger on your part than what is on the enemy's part. And for us to really walk in the victory that God has given to us. How many believe God has given us the victory? And so, as God said to the children of Israel to go in and take the land, we find that they did that. But it didn't happen in all cases. In Joshua 17, let's turn there. I want you to see this. Joshua 17 and verse 12. The situation here with Manasseh. Joshua 17 and verse 12. It says, "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. But the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land." You see, they were determined to dwell in the land. Even though God said, "This is your land, this is your possession," they could not drive the inhabitants out of the land. They couldn't drive the Canaanites out of the land because the Canaanites were determined. Do you know why Manasseh couldn't do it? Well, number one, they were determined. The enemy was determined to stay. But the problem was, is that Manasseh was not determined enough to drive the enemy out. They didn't have enough of a resolve in their hearts that says, "We can do it." And that, my friends, is what it comes down to. is that we have to have a resolve in our hearts that says, I can do it by faith in Jesus, because He's made me more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And He said that I could tread over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means can hurt me. And so He says here, and it happened, verse 13, when the children of Israel grew strong, that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. See, what happened there? They made a compromise with God's promise, didn't they? They compromised the promise of God. Because what it all boiled down to, they were too lazy to do it. They didn't have the determination to do it. And so they settled for second best. So how many of us in our Christian walk fail to drive out the enemy because we lack the determination? We lack the fighting spirit. And so we settle for a place of compromise in God, where we can still, you know, dwell in the land, enjoy the inheritance, but we're continually harassed by the enemy. See, that's what happens when we don't drive the enemy out, whether it be, you know, any of the different lusts of the flesh, the works of carnality in Galatians chapter 5, any of these things. If we don't completely drive them out, we'll continually be harassed by them. And that's what happens. See, whenever the children of Israel would get weak, their enemies would be able to rise up real easy because they were right there. They weren't out of the land yet. They were right there. And so it was easy for them. When the children of Israel became vulnerable, the enemy was able to rise up and harass and even get his blows in until they would regroup and regain strength once again, because they lacked that determination to really drive them out. And so how many of us give place to the devil? Because we simply lack the determination to completely drive him out. I believe that God has given us the authority and the power to drive him out wherever he is at. Wherever he is harassing. Wherever he is trying to oppress. He says, you drive him out. You drive him out. Luke 10 and verse 19 says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Because we all have strongholds. Amen? Every one of us has strongholds of one nature or another that we deal with. And the enemy feeds on those strongholds in our lives. And so what we have to do is we have to take one stronghold at a time and drive the enemy out. One stronghold at a time and drive him out. And we need to realize that he's not going to go out that easily. He's not going to give up without a fight. And so you have to be determined to drive him out. But you need to know that greater is he who is in you than who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Ephesians 6, we wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness. There's a warfare that goes on in the heavenly realms that I don't believe we give strong enough heed to. And I believe because of that, the enemy is loosed in our lives, in our church, in many cases, unnecessarily, because we are not rising up with a determined effort to drive him away in those spiritual high places. So we're wrestling against principalities. We're wrestling against powers. We're wrestling against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, as it says in Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. Many Christians fail in many, many areas because of this thing right here. A lack of determination, of making that determined effort. Marriages fail because there's not enough of a determined effort to save the marriage. There's not enough of a determined effort to make the marriage as good as it can be. And what happens even in the marriage when we settle in that place of compromise, when we settle in that area where we're comfortable with one another, but we're not really pressing forward and making it the best that it can be? The enemy is still able to come in. And you know it as well as I know it, that he comes in and he harasses, he stirs, and he agitates, and he does everything that he can do to get you to a place where you want to just forsake the whole thing. And then you have to regroup. And that's why we're seeing so much divorce in the land today. Because couples are not making a determined effort to make their marriages what God has promised them what they should be. Family, children, it's the same thing there. Your jobs, you need to make a determined effort. In your break free, amen, of the bondages that sin would try to grip us with. Our prayer life. We need to break free in our prayer life. We need to be determined to break free in our prayer life. Because these are all areas that the enemy wants to continue to dwell. He doesn't want a battle, but you've got to drive him out. See, you've got to be determined to make him leave, or he will not leave. Because he's determined to stay. And so without determination, you find yourself being tossed here, you find yourself being tossed there, you find yourself being beat to a pulp. Every time the enemy comes against you, you find yourself being beat out. When the pressure's on, again, you find yourself reacting in that way that's contradictory to what you believe. And so do you have the inner fortitude? Do you have the strength of character to remain consistent? Do you have the strength of character to remain strong and diligent regardless of the odds or the demands that are being placed on you in these areas? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." It says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood all throughout the world." See, there it is. See, the same sufferings that we experience right here in Golden Valley Christian Center, Roseville, California, are the same sufferings that are being experienced throughout the world and the brotherhood. Satan and his ploys are no different anywhere else than they are right here. It's all the same. It's just like this pastor wrote. He says, let me read that again. He says, "These last few weeks have been some of the toughest that I've ever experienced. The enemy is on the rampage and doing everything he can to destroy people's lives and try to undermine God's church. And many of you are feeling the direct assault of Satan's blows." Now, see, we have to keep in mind what our main objective is. Because, see, we can get so bogged down in being harassed by the enemy. And that's what he wants to do sometimes, is just keep us diverted. Just keep our attention on ourselves. You know, keep our attention on our wounds and our emotional distress and all of that. So that we lose sight of what the real objective is. See, the real objective is that the kingdom has to be extended. And it's going to take that determination to extend the kingdom, just like it was with the nation of Israel as they went in and they took possession of the land. See, in order for the kingdom to be extended into all the land, they had to be determined, because the enemy was determined to stay. I believe we have strongholds in our city that need to be broken down. And it's going to take a determined effort on our behalf. How can we go and wage warfare in our city when we spend all of our time just licking our wounds right here? You see, we've got to get past that stage. We've got to get to the place where we understand what it says in Hebrews, that we lift up the hands that are hanging down, and the knees that are wobbling, and we make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is wounded and hurt be dislocated. See, we can focus so much on the hurt and the wound and all of that that we lose sight and we become even worse off. See, when Solomon was building his kingdom, when he was building the temple, I'm sure that there was a lot of harassment that was going on. I mean, you know, just think about what happened in the when the restored temple was built. They were building the wall, and they would come up and they would harass them and all of that, and you know, half would work and half would stand guard. The thing that caused Solomon to be successful in extending the kingdom in his time was that he was determined. In 2 Chronicles 2, in verse 1, it says, "Then Solomon determined that he came to that resolve that he was going to build the temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house." You see, he was determined that he was going to extend the kingdom, that he was going to make the kingdom a place of refuge and safety. The kingdom that was established under Solomon's reign was the greatest and most glorious of all the kingdoms of the earth. And it came forth as a result of many things, but one of those things was determination. I'm sure Solomon had his obstacles along the way. I mean, there must have been times where, you know, he probably got these big heavy bricks up just in the right spot, and, you know, someone would come along and do the wrong thing, and the big heavy thing would come down and bust all the pieces. There must have been all kinds of things that could have gone wrong in the midst of that building. But he was determined to do it. And because of that, he did it. He was determined to complete the task that he was given, see? And that's where our hearts have to be. We have to be determined to complete the task that God has given to us. Because I'll tell you what, God's determined. He says, "I'm going to perform my work in you until the day of Jesus Christ." See, God is determined to finish the task. But we have to be equally determined, because we labor together with God. Now, we have to be determined to see the kingdom extended in our world, in our city, in our church. Matthew 11 and verse 12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence." See, and it's a violent that take it by force. See, we have to be violent about our Christianity. There are times that you absolutely have to get violent with your faith in order to survive. You have to get dead serious. Well, that's not a good phrase. Confession people bury me on that one, wouldn't they? You have to get serious, amen? I don't happen to believe that every word that comes out of my mouth I'm going to be in bondage to. Praise God for that. But there is a little bit of truth to that. You know, if you continually confess and confess and confess these things, it gets into your heart. And you begin to believe. You've got to be careful about that. On the other hand, if we continually confess and confess what we believe about God, that gets into our heart too, and it brings forth faith. But it says that the violent take the kingdom by force. We must make a determined effort in establishing the kingdom of God in our midst. We have experienced many defeats. Amen. We've experienced some serious setbacks. We've experienced some discouragements. We've experienced some hindrances. We've experienced it all, folks. But does that mean that we give up? We throw in the towel? We give up the ship? No. We must be like the Apostle Paul, who said, "None of these things move me." Acts 20 and verse 24. He says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy. And the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel, the grace of God." We have to bring the focus back to where it belongs. Building the kingdom. Standing the kingdom. Because that's what it's all about. And I want to close with these three illustrations. Some of you may remember these from last time, but I want to use them again because they have an impact. I may remember when I preached this sermon before. It was only back in February. Well, I can get away with this, can't I? Now, I believe God just brought this back to my attention today and just really breathed on it again. But this is an illustration. You'll remember this when you hear these illustrations. Most of us, that's what we remember. But this is an illustration. It's a page out of John Wesley's diary. This is the way it reads. This is really funny. "Sunday morning, May 5th, preached in St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore." Kathy remembers it. "Sunday p.m., May 5th. Preach to St. John's. Deacon says, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th. Preach to St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday p.m., May 12th. Preach to St. George's. Kicked out again." I mean, you know, we're talking here, just all of this is taking place within 1 month. "Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached to St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street." I mean, you know, if anybody had a reason to get discouraged, I mean, this guy had a good reason to get a little bit discouraged. "May 26th, preached in a meadow. Chased out of the meadow as a bow was turned loose during the services." "Sunday a.m., June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway." Now this is what happened as a result of determination, as a result of not giving up. Sunday p.m., June 2nd, afternoon service, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came to hear me. What does that say? You see, that shows us how the devil works on one hand to discourage and try to keep us from extending the kingdom. But on the other hand, what it says, if we are faithful not to give up and remain determined in what God has called us to do, we will see some dramatic and dynamic results. Amen? That's the Word of God for us here tonight. Another man, Herman Sherman, wrote a book entitled How to Turn Failure into Success. In it, he gives a code of persistence. He says, "I will never give up so long as I know I am right. As long as I know that I'm right, I'm not going to give up. I will believe that all things will work out for me if I hang on to the end. I will be courageous and undismayed in the face of odds. I will not permit anyone to intimidate or deter me from my goals. And that has to be what it really comes down to, because we can be intimidated, we can be deterred very easily from the goals that God gives us because of the onslaught that the enemy brings against us. He says, I will fight to overcome all physical handicaps and setbacks. I will try again and again and yet again to accomplish what I desire. Isn't that what John Wesley did? He says, I will take new faith and resolution from the knowledge that all successful women or men and women have had to fight defeat or adversity. I will never surrender to discouragement or despair, no matter what seeming obstacles may confront me. And let me tell you something tonight. That's my testimony. I will not surrender to the devil. Finally, illustration of D.L. Moody. In 1873, D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey sailed to England for a series of evangelistic meetings. But once there, they found to their dismay that all three of their prime contacts had died. Now, some of us would say, well, that must not be the will of God. We so easily sometimes close the doors that Satan is trying to close and say, well, must not be God's will. Meetings had to be hastily arranged. Some of the pastors who had endorsed Moody's ministry turned against him. At Sunderland, a group of pastors covered the public buildings with material warning about the Americans and their questionable procedure and probable evil results. Rumors about Moody traveled ahead of him. He went and Sankey went to Scotland only to encounter deep skepticism. But Moody persevered. And revival swept the British Isles. We want to see revival, folks. It's going to take determination. It's going to take persistence. Though we may be knocked down, though we may get knocked out of the saddle, though we may experience setbacks, though we may experience discouragement, disillusionment, all these different things, there has to be persistence in the midst of that. There has to be determination that says, I have resolved in my heart that I am not going to be a quitter. I'm going to fight the battle. I'm going to fight for the king. Because Satan will fight even if you quit. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. God, that you would just put this resolve in each and every one of our hearts. God, that we are here for the endurance of the battle. God, that we are here to remain committed to your plan and your purpose. We are here, Lord, to remain committed to extending your kingdom into this city, to tearing down the strongholds, to establishing your kingdom with power, with glory. God, I pray that you would just put faith in each and every one of our hearts tonight. God, that something would rise up within each and every one of us that says, I want to go into the battle. I want to go and I want to chase the enemy as far as I can. I want to drive the enemy out of my life. I want to drive him away from my family. I want to drive him away from this church. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name.